Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Martha always seems to get the short end of the stick in the stories we hear about her, her sister Mary, and her brother Lazarus. Mary is the attentive, prayerful one who sits at the feet of Jesus, and later the one who anoints Jesus' feet with pure nard and wipes them with her hair. Lazarus is a follower of Jesus, dear enough to him that when he falls ill and dies, Jesus brings him back to life. And then there's Martha, distracted by many tasks. Maybe it's because I recognize some of Martha's tendencies within myself that I've always sort of felt my ire rise at this dismissal she seems to get from Jesus in today's reading. But then years ago, I heard a sermon on this text, which changed that for me. It included a reflection on Martha and Mary from a book called Just a Sister Away by womanist theologian Dr. Renita Weems. Called My Sister's Keeper, it's a vision of the relationship between Martha and Mary, and indeed their relationship with Jesus as well. I commend the entire reflection to you, which includes both Martha and Mary's perspectives. But today, I'd like to share just a part of Martha's story. My name is Martha. I have been accused by some of being bossy, argumentative, and aggressive. Many say I am a shrew. But what I have been, I have had to be. I am a woman trying to make it in a man's world. There are those who belittle me because the kind of work which I do best and enjoy doing is considered worthless in the world. But I like cooking, cleaning, mending, washing, marketing, and all the other tasks that go into making our home comfortable for the weary. And I don't mind saying that it takes an inordinate amount of organization, foresight, and stamina to run a household smoothly, more than the average person has. And understandably, there are times when the pressures of juggling the demands of shopping, cooking, and cleaning can leave one's nerves on edge. Imagine Jesus as a guest in your home, and perhaps you'll understand why I was so anxious to make sure everything was perfect. Oh, I will admit that my temper got the best of me, and I probably spoke too harshly. But imagine what it's like to be saddled unexpectedly with 12 extra mouths to feed. Of course, any woman worth her weight in salt can prepare a meal for four. And four was all that I was expecting. The stranger, Jesus, my brother Lazarus, my sister Mary, and myself. But my brother failed to mention that wherever the Galilean stranger went, his 12 disciples were sure to follow. I ended up having to figure out how to make a fowl, only large enough to feed six, stretch to feed 16. Not to mention the fact that more cucumbers, beans, lentils, onions, leeks, vegetable marrow, and garlic had to be chopped up. As I scurried from pot to pot, from broth to bread, trying to keep the breeze outside from extinguishing the fire in the oven, worrying whether there was enough water and who would go down to the well to get more, I found myself growing increasingly annoyed at my younger sister, Mary, for leaving me to worry and serve alone. There was so much to do, so many to do it for, and so little time to do it. As usual, Mary was engrossed in conversation with the men. She had even forgotten to offer our travel-weary guests the opportunity to wash their hands and feet. From my cooking area, I could see into the front room where everyone was gathered. The 12 sat in a corner with my brother Lazarus, talking amongst themselves. From time to time, one of them would look jealously over in the direction of Mary and Jesus. There, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, gazing up into his face, looking as though her life depended on his word, oblivious to the dirt and grime on his feet. He sat before her, speaking with intense urgency, as though his own life depended on getting out what he held inside. The two of them, Jesus and my sister, were only a few feet from me, but they looked as if they were miles away from my broth and lentils. That afternoon, when Jesus was a guest in our home, changed my life. And like most worthwhile change, it came about as a result of pain. I had the best intentions. Vexing Jesus was the last thing I wanted to do. I had been so anxious that everything go smoothly, anxious that our guests enjoy the meal that I had been preparing for more than 3 days, anxious that Jesus be impressed with all that I had done for him, that I resented the way Mary was consuming his attention with so little effort on her part. It was as if everything I stood for was being held up for public ridicule. Before I knew it, my irritation with my sister got the best of me. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Silence fell over the room. The disciples looked up from their conversations. My brother Lazarus gazed at me in horror. Admittedly, my complaint might have sounded petty and selfish, but in the end, not one of them denied being hungry. Jesus had only to look up at me with those eyes that seemed to bore right into my private thoughts, and I felt my anger melt to shame. I knew right then and there that there had never been a time that evening when he had not noticed me. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worked up over many things, but only one thing is important. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her." Jesus' rebuff stung me, and the look of disappointment on his face sent a chill down my spine. It was not that he did not appreciate the effort and care that went into coordinating a meal, or the added burden of preparing for unexpected guests. He understood my frustration. No, it was not my housework that Jesus took exception to. It was my attitude. There's a difference between serving and ministering. I now understand what the Master was saying to me. I also know what he was not saying. Jesus was not denigrating the value of my work over against Mary's attentiveness. But in spite of all the sweat and energy that I had poured into my service to my guests, my disposition threatened to cancel out all the love that went into my efforts. Here in this telling, Martha is not rebuked. She is seen and valued. And then Jesus speaks truth to her in love. There is a difference between serving and ministering. The distillation here is that whatever we do, love is what makes the difference. And when we offer service in love, we are living out Jesus' call. Oddly enough, it reminds me of an episode of that old TV show from years ago called Wife Swap. Now, I have to say, I was never really a fan of this show. I only watched a handful of episodes, and I probably wouldn't have even watched that many, except the very first time I saw it, this happened. The swap was between a proud Italian-American woman whose house was always sparkling, and who prepared large homemade family meals, including a huge weekly Sunday dinner that included extended family. The other woman was this sort of loosey-goosey, hippy-dippy woman whose house was a wreck and who was vegan. This bit's important because when they swapped, she was, of course, expected to cook the massive family Italian Sunday dinner, including making the meatballs from scratch and lasagna and all the Italian sausage. Now, because it's a reality TV show, they had to, of course, build up some sort of controversy. And so there had been developing throughout the week an adversarial relationship with the vegan woman and the outspoken, fiery Italian-American mother of the woman that she was swapped with. So it's Sunday dinner time. And here she is slaving away in the kitchen, trying to make this big dinner. And there's the mother, smugly watching over her as she's mixing up the meat for the meatballs. And with a not very nice smirk, she asks her if she's totally grossed out by having to touch all that dead animal flesh. But do you know what that hippy-dippy woman said? She smiled. And she said, no. No, because when your daughter makes this meal for your family, I know she does it with love, and that's what I want to do too. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to be the same. We don't have to agree on every issue. But in order to be followers of Christ, we must engage one another and the world around us in love. We can't let worry overtake us, let ourselves be distracted by many things. We have only to remember that Jesus' love was so broad and so deep that he offered healing, transformation, and his very self to a broken world, and he called us to do the same. So I exhort you today, when the darkness of the world seems as if it will be an unending night of violence, and death, and grief, act and minister in love. When you see a friend or a stranger in need, act and minister in love. When you feel discouraged, distracted, and frustrated by things that seem too complex to change, act and minister in love. It's the only thing that will bring light to the shadows around us, and it's the only way to minister in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen.